Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh my God, I'm so corny.
You've literally never busted out the hey, hey, hey before. But it's a very special day because we have guests, which we've once had a guest.
Maybe? I don't know.
This is fantastic. We're sharing the space.
We are chatting today with the hosts of We Don't Deserve Dogs, Dr. Lisa Lippman, veterinarian to the stars, and her comedian boyfriend, Richie Redding, host and creator of Not TV.
Yeah,
hi,
dude.
Guys.
Hi. Well, we didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We
just shared a look. Like, ooh.
Yeah, we feel special. Thank you for having us.
Oh, we're so pleased to have you. Yeah, yes. I think we've had maybe one or two guests. My mother doesn't count as a guest. So three.
Have you had two on at once?
No. Never.
This is new for us.
So I was binging your podcast, We Don't Deserve Dogs, this week, and you guys have had some of my favorite people on your podcast.
Really?
Claudia Oshry from The Morning Toast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
The best dog mom.
Best dog mom.
Yeah, she's been a long-term client of mine. I've been seeing Theo since the day she brought him home.
Yep, like, yeah, yep. So. And she's actually a part of our Audio Boom family. Sometimes she records in this studio, too.
So fun.
And Katie Storino, oh my God.
Yes.
I worship at the altar of Katie Storino.
Have you tried her Mega Babe?
Oh, I'm the biggest Mega Babe fan ever. She's like, every single product that she's ever made, I'm like, sign me up.
I'm chub rubbed up right now.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Because I know, doesn't she makes one for dudes, right?
Yeah.
Like dude balm?
Yeah.
What's it called?
What is it? Mega dude.
Mega dude?
Mega Man.
But it's all up on my thigh meat right now.
Yes. And her packaging game is just like so on point.
Of course. Yeah. So she's so cute.
That's fantastic.
Doctor, can we call you Dr. Lisa?
Yeah, you can call me Lisa. Either way.
Lisa, Dr. Lisa.
Do you earn that doctorate? Go by Dr.
I
Lisa.
I did. I make my mom call me that.
I mean, I
everybody
would.
Out for my friends.
So how does one become a veterinarian to the stars?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, how does that happen? Like, was it just word of mouth, or were you working out of like a clinic here in New York City, and like people just started talking about you? Like, how did that happen?
I think being in New York City and being outgoing and always, you know, making connections and just loving what I do and talking to people has been definitely an asset. But I think it was also somewhat luck. So I did emergency veterinary medicine for 2 years, and then general practice for 2 years, and then joined and started a house call practice. And when I started doing house call practice, that really just lends itself to like the very concierge lifestyle. Yes. And when I started, I went very viral with a patient, with a very Instagram famous patient of mine, Catstradamus. He's the largest cat in New York.
Are there the same HIPAA laws with vets as there are with, humans?
But
okay,
they
good.
Because
you can talk about them. Okay.
No, And I've also asked permission for them to talk about all of them. But
okay,
So Castrodamus went super viral, largest cat in New York. Everyone was just so obsessed with him. We did everything from like Harry Connick Jr., TMZ, Inside Edition, like you name it, we did it. And that's sort of how a lot of things took off. And then I just went and reached out to a lot of people. DMs, you guys. It's the powers in the DMs.
Yeah.
Really. Don't be afraid.
It's incredible. Social media, like the connections that you make.
Yeah,
you just reach out to someone and you're like, hey, I want to take care of your dog.
Yeah. I mean, so I reached out to, I don't know if you know Danielle Bernstein of We Wore What. Oh, you're looking at
We're looking at Castrodamus.
You should really Google Castrodamus, Dr. Lisa Lippman. It's
really
a monster of a cat.
How much does that cat weigh, or is it all fluff?
I mean, so he's about 28 pounds now. He was 26 when I was working with him.
That's
insane. But if you go on my Instagram, there's a photo where he just looks magnificent.
He looks like if he stretched out, he would be more than like 5 feet long or something.
Well, there's actually a whole Reddit thread about like, is he really the biggest cat or am I the world's tiniest woman?
That's
and like,
funny.
Was I kicking out my leg to make him? Like, I'm like barely wearing makeup in that picture. If I knew like that was going to go so viral, I would not have.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was like the same thing that dudes do with like a bass on Tinder.
Yeah.
It's like just lock their arms out.
Yeah, they push it out.
So Bethany, I know your podcast is called We Don't Deserve Dogs. Yeah. Bethany and I are cat ladies.
Yes. Very happily cat ladies.
Happily cat ladies.
Oh, so I have to hear all about this, but I always say, is this in our opener, we don't discriminate against cats? And he says,
yes.
You don't.
Yeah,
it is. You're not a cat guy, Richie.
Well, I have love for all animals, but I am I'm afraid of cats.
Mm. Have you been hurt in the past?
I have.
Okay, let's investigate. Yeah, let's go deeper.
That's yeah. Right. I feel that most people who say that they don't like cats, they're just uncomfortable with them.
Yeah.
They're not really, they don't even know that they don't like them.
Yeah.
They just are scared. They're scared.
So you've never had a cat like push his little head into your arm and like snuggle in the crook of your elbow?
So I've connected with one cat. He was a Philly street cat that was rescued.
Aww.
And then lived on a farm, and he would come out of a tree to like hang out with me. That was cool.
That's cool.
But when I was a kid, I was like four. We were taking a cat to the vet.
It's always when you're four.
Yeah.
It's always.
And
that's like the time you start to grow a brain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And things can really become traumatic.
Yeah. 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 So my mom put me and my sister in the boxy Volvo, right? The
uh-huh.
station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
And she put the cat in the back. And it was probably in, like, you know, a grocery bag.
Uh-huh.
And by the time she got to the front, to the driver's side door, this cat had ricocheted off mine and my sister's faces, like, six or seven times.
Yeah.
Claws out, scratched the living shit out of it.
Yeah.
And then it, like, bounced off into the tall weeds, never to be seen again.
Yeah, that's a scary.
Wow.
That's scary. I can see why you would be not totally into cats then.
Yeah.
But then,
Lisa gives a knowing look to Richie.
Yeah. Then, like, 2 weeks after we moved in together, Lisa, in a 400 square foot apartment, Lisa's parents dropped off Jack the cat.
Oh.
No way. Yeah. So I had a cat, but when I was doing my internship, like my 100 hour work weeks, like they had him for a little while.
Yeah.
And then we moved in together, and I was like, surprise!
We have a cat!
We have a cat now! Yeah.
Yeah, and but like every time we talk to her parents, they're like, oh, but hey, Jack says hi. And I was just like, who's this Jack dude?
he's your cat brother-in-law.
Yeah, it turns out he's going to be stepping on my face while I sleep. Yeah,
he was.
Really neat.
Jack, rest in peace. He was the sweetest cat that ever lived.
He was a good boy.
Now you guys have a dog together now.
Yes.
What's his or her name?
Chloe.
Chloe. That's right.
Yeah, it's okay. People call her handsome all the time. We take it. We don't care. Yeah, we're very proud.
We're very proud.
Was
very
Chloe an adoption together or a...
I saw Chloe behind Lisa on Tinder, and I was like, is that a Rhodesian Ridgeback?
So Chloe is what I call my quasi-rescue. I got her. I've been involved with Ridgeback Rescue for like a really long time. And long story short, the breeder who had her, she was bought and then given back. And then the breeder thought she would need surgery. So she basically said to me, if you can take her and do the surgery, I'll just give her to you. And I was like, I'm the best person for the job.
Yeah.
So she was my very free puppy, actually. And then turned out she didn't even need the surgery. So she was my very,
amazing.
Win-win. Yeah. Yeah. Win-win.
I saw on, I think at Lisa, it was your Instagram, you guys in front of your Christmas tree with you have the
Chloe angel.
The Chloe angel at the top of your tree. It's so freaking, where do we even get that made? That was amazing.
I hand cut that thing.
No, you didn't.
Did you whittle it?
You gave yourself a comedian boyfriend.
Yeah. That was a picture of her laying on the bed with her legs out, and I cut that out, and then
you blew it up.
Yeah, and I just took it to FedEx.
Amazing.
And I cut out like some stencils of wings and taped them together.
See,
and got ourselves a Chloe angel. I crafted it.
It's the thing that people don't fully, I think, take advantage of or realize is that if you love your pet enough, there is anything on the internet for you to show that love. Like FedEx will blow a picture up. I have a portrait that was painted of my cat. As though they were aristocrats.
Yeah.
Like, we've got too.
Yeah. I've got socks with my cat's faces on them. Like,
Well, we had some wrapping paper with Lisa's face on it. That was nice.
There's a site. I have a friend who runs a company called, I think it's called Gift Wrap My Face. And it's hilarious. Like, you can put anything on it. Like, and you just put people's faces on it and then give them gifts with their own face on it.
Amazing.
Or their pet on it or whatever. It's so funny.
There's no better gift.
But did you see his sweatshirt? Or are we going to gloss over this?
I loved
sweatshirt.
The sweatshirt said
on the picture, the Christmas picture.
Yeah, the Christmas picture. Wait, it was Lisa. Both of you shout out your Instagram so we can find you.
Oh, so I'm at Dr. Lisa Littman, DRLISA. If you put that in, it usually comes up.
And at Richie Redding, RICHIE REDDING.
Amazing. Yeah. So let's talk about the sweatshirt.
It fucking crushed.
The sweatshirt. So it's it looks like it was embroidered or cross stitched. It's a red sweatshirt, Christmas sweatshirt. T-shirt, and it says, Epstein did not kill himself.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Which we mention on every podcast.
Dude, I am deep into that.
I love a good either government cover-up, mm-hmm. conspiracy theory. Like, we have a couple of segments we're going to do with you both today,
yeah.
and one of them is famous pet or government cover-up.
Oh.
I'm into that. So we'll be into it. But where does one obtain this sweatshirt that you were wearing?
On the internet.
On the internet?
Yeah. But,
Amazon.
I mean,
I got it on Amazon.
If you want me to put you on the Epstein Truther Movement
Let's
Slack channel,
oh.
I got you. We may or may not have been to a Truther Movement meetup.
You may or may not have tricked me into going to that, a
so
Truther
you made Lisa
movement.
Go with you
he
to the movement.
Tricked me.
Yes.
You want to get a girl cranky.
You know what? I got tricked once into going to a Vampire Diaries convention, so I know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, but did you, like, have to pee, and at least if you knew you were going somewhere, you would have peed, but then you go to the park and there's nowhere to go, and then you're holding it for like an hour.
That's no good.
And then
that's torture.
Somebody was
Starbucks,
a grumpy guest.
And then I'm like, I'm here, so I might as well join this truther movement. But he's like, well, can you grab us some coffee? And then I was 40 minutes late grabbing coffee, and I was like, now I'm going to be late to this thing I didn't even want to go to.
You missed the whole thesis statement of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, if you're walking around a park trying to find the Epstein truther movement, look for a lot of lady armpit hair.
Okay.
There's some handlebar mustaches.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Some inexplicably young people with canes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A crazy
guy
on a unicycle.
I was really surprised by that.
A guy on a unicycle.
So it was held in Williamsburg, basically.
No, it was Union Square.
Oh, no way.
God, really?
But they all came from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I like
sticky.
The young people with canes as like a fashion accessory.
Yeah.
Bethany and I talk a lot about eye patches as fashion accessories.
Is that a thing?
No, I keep trying to get my eye doctor to tell me that I need one because I have a bit of a strabismus.
Lateral or medial?
Lateral, I believe, sideways.
That means you guys, it goes to, out to the side.
And so
I wish you didn't tell me that. I'm watching that eye
now. It's so funny.
I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. When you get tired?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out.
Yeah.
So I was shooting something once, and I had to, like, look to camera and give a reaction to camera, and you couldn't tell that I was looking to camera because I was tired, and we were shooting it at night. So I keep trying to ask my eye doctor to give me an eye patch, and she says it's not clinically proven to help
as
an adult.
Yeah, you don't need it.
I went on I had a comedy show in Cape May, and the driver was this 50-year-old guy, Kenny Ray Walker, who has the craziest lazy eye in the world.
Really?
And as he puts it, he's like, I'm cross-eyed. That's what he always says. We were doing like 35 on the parkway.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And every sign is like, is this our exit?
No.
No, dude.
It's the last
miss
Cape May. It's
yeah,
the last
so if we
exit
hit the ocean,
Jersey.
Every sign he asked me if it was.
Oh, my God.
And we got rear-ended on the way home because we were doing 35.
Wow.
No. And I got to see a New Jersey state trooper give that guy the follow the finger test. And
how did it go? And could he?
The guy's just sitting there. He's like, I'm cross-eyed. I'm cross-eyed.
Oh.
And he's moving the finger. And I had to jump in. I was like, officer, he's cross-eyed.
He's like, really?
it's true.
Which
you know what?
Follows, I wonder.
Cape May.
It's a disaster.
The champagne of New Jersey. You know what? It's the nicest of all of the beach towns in Jersey.
Disagree. But
really?
Did you know it's actually below the Mason-Dixon line?
Is it?
Yeah.
New Jersey?
No, Cape May specifically.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I'm hitting the googs.
Stone Harbor's probably the nicest. Or Avalon.
Fight.
No
fight.
Way.
Fight.
No way.
Fight.
No,
fight.
I will fight you for that. Are you guys from Jersey originally?
I am. There's some real trash bag parts of Cape May.
What's the trashiest part of New Jersey, would you say?
Wildwood.
Wildwood?
Yeah.
Or like Seaside.
Well, for a beach.
Sleaside.
I got an underage drinking ticket there on prom weekend.
Right. Yes, prom.
Uh-huh.
Wait, where in Jersey?
I'm from North Jersey, from Bergen County.
Okay, I'm from East Brunswick.
Oh, okay.
I'm close to Atlantic City.
Okay. I went to Rutgers, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fun. We're all having fun.
I got my
fun.
Belly button pierced there.
Ah.
And I used to eat at Sparks.
Yeah. Oh, my God, how funny. Bethany's from Wisconsin, so
shout
she's
out.
Not.
Hey. I'm representing the
so
Midwest.
So I also have some questions for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is it going on Grindr?
I joined Grindr.
Yeah.
Because
so you've listened.
I never yell in cult.
But you know what? It was like an interesting half-day experience. I like won't say that I won't do it again. Like it was kind of like a fun thing. I did see other women on Grindr. My face was a piece of pizza because I was like doing some investigative work.
You're doing some recon.
I was doing some recon. I think my friend's going through a really awful divorce. I think her husband is secretly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like looking for him on there to like help with the
odds of you bumping into that guy.
I don't. You
very
never know.
Specific. I'm like, pizza might not there have been his type. Like, there's no, and he may not have like been part of your algorithm.
And there's got to be a kabillion guys in New York City.
Yeah.
I don't know, Grindr. Babe. You're forgetting I got to the end of Tinder.
Oh yeah.
You finished Tinder?
Yeah. Lisa,
wait, is that how you guys met on Tinder?
Yeah.
We usually how like funny. To say Craigslist.
Lisa swiped so much that she found, like, she got the thinking wheel. It was just like, come back later.
There was this commercial years ago where it was just like a guy sitting on the internet and he's clicking around and then it says, end congratulations, you've hit the end of the internet. Yeah, that sounds like you,
yeah,
Lisa.
Yeah, but with Tinder.
Congratulations. Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
I was hoping, though, that you got matches with guys that wanted to fuck a pizza.
Oh, no. I've been married for 7 years now, but sometimes, like, when I go on vacation with my girlfriends and they're all, like, on Tinder trying to get, like, vacation hookups and stuff, I will join Tinder with pizza to just, like, have witty banter with people. Like, ooh, you like my pepperoni?
I was on the apps briefly, and it was a bad experience, but I was on Bumble, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. I was on Bumble, and I matched with a guy whose profile said he was a dolphin trainer, and he was from Jersey, and I don't know of dolphins in Jersey.
No.
So I figured he was lying. So we matched, and so I commented, help, my dolphin's being an asshole. What should I do?
Yep.
And he unmatched us and blocked me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, if you're pretending to be a dolphin trainer and you don't have a sense of humor about being a dolphin trainer, like, not a good match.
I have a friend. It was during the Ebola outbreak.
Okay.
And she matched with a guy that he was like, yeah, I really want to meet you. I'm tied up for 2 weeks. And, like, it kept being, like, you know, 11 more days, 10 more days, and I can see you. And she finally realized, and he was a doctor, and she realized he was quarantined. He was, one of, like, the three doctors that was quarantined in Baltimore.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, I wonder if they ended up hooking up.
You know what? It's kind of, like, the same storyline playing out in the media these days with the
coronavirus.
Yeah,
don't watch pandemic videos.
I think it would be more fun if they called it teened.
Teened?
Yeah, you got teened, man. Yeah.
Just like hanging out.
Yeah, it's a little bit punchier.
Let's get down to some veterinarian. But, yes. Well, first of all, Bethany and I are having like a discussion before you guys came in about the word vet.
It's a CH.
Veterinarian.
She loves that.
Yeah, no.
We realize it's one of those words that you can say until you focus on it and then you can't pronounce it anymore. How do you pronounce the word?
Veterinary.
Yeah. Okay, great. So we put out on our podcast fan group, do you have any questions about your pets? I have never seen such a response. We had 178 inquiries.
Amazing. Wow. I love that, you guys. Come to me. Ask me all your questions on Instagram.
Can I go first?
Yes, go first. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I have two Persian cats. One of them, super flat faced. The super flat faced one, Loki, he does this thing where every once in a while he just makes noises where he's just like, and he seems fine and he seems calm and he's not in pain. I'll like push on his belly to see if anything's hurting him. Is that just like his way of like self soothing or is he just? Why was he making those noises?
Well, I would love to see it on video.
Okay.
I think for me to hear the noises, so they're not like they don't sound like upper respiratory snoring noises because of his flat face.
They sound more like he's, it's like a.
Yeah. So that probably is some, like vibrations of his airway. He's probably got some redundant, like an elongated soft palate because of his short face.
Yeah.
And so he's probably just got some like redundant like vibrations of the airway causing that when he's relaxing and purring.
Okay.
And that is part of self-soothing in cats. So I see cats that either when they're stressed or when they're happy will purr, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think if he's happy and otherwise he's eating, he's drinking, he's doing all of his normal things and otherwise like normal, then it doesn't overly concern me. And it's not progressive.
Yeah.
Then I'm not overly concerned about it. Okay. But it would be interesting to see it on video.
I'm sure I have. Richie, do you self-soothe by making little whimpering noises or is that just a cat thing?
I smoke cigars instead. Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. That's a good one.
So like, I don't want to be a downer, but I think this is something that a lot of people with pets struggle with. Taylor wrote to us, a subject I'm currently struggling with, how to decide when it's time to put your dog down. Okay. Like when they're older, how do we decide that their quality of life isn't good anymore? I have two senior dogs who are both having their own age issues, and my mom and I are so torn over when is the right time.
Mm. Yeah, such a hard one. So there's a lot of good, I should post something about this because I did an article on this, and I have, if you follow Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, she also does a great video on this with the House Call Hospital. veterinarian.
Okay.
But I'll say, I'll preface this by saying I really think that euthanasia is a gift that we have to give as veterinarians. I believe in it. Even for I mean, I told my parents when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah, totally.
I don't believe in suffering.
Yeah.
I also think that a day better a day too early than a day too late, you know? So it really is the one way that we know that they won't suffer.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, being able to know for sure, having a better idea, there are also online questionnaires you can fill out that will talk about quality of life scale. So if you go Google quality of life scale, I think Ohio State Veterinary School has a really good one. But just Google that. That'll help you make it a little bit more sort of subjective and see, okay, yeah, he's not getting up to greet me anymore. He's not eating, not sleeping well. I mean, those are all quality of life issues. And to take into your quality of life also, I think, is very fair. So it's a really tough one, but I think the quality of life scales, watch the video that Dr. Sue Cancer Vet has, and I'll post something on it as well. But
awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for taking that question. Yeah, it's such a tough one.
What is your take on CBD for cats and dogs and animals in general? Is this like too controversial?
It's delicious.
You guys are looking at each other like I just asked something that either A, everybody always asks, or B, like is sort of like not something you want to answer.
Both of those things.
So I'll say actually, well, I just formed a partnership with a CBD company called Medterra. So you guys should check them out. But it's something that's really hard to talk about for veterinarians because of the legalities surrounding it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I can say in general, I don't join things that I don't believe in or, you know, that I don't think do great things. But it's hard to talk about, I would say, see your veterinarian. Yeah. And also, you know, it's such a new modality. I would go to tried and true proven things, you know, as well as talking to your veterinarian about something like that. So
as someone who has a cat who is on Prozac, I'm a big fan of like, let's make them feel good and feel happy. Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. We don't really know all the interactions also, right? Yeah. So the cat's on Prozac. But I have had Prozac be very effective for a lot of cats. Does he urinate all over, or is he anxious?
He was same cat. Yeah. Jumpy. We think that there was like some very, very early trauma regarding grooming. And so like anytime he's around or hears anything like a razor sound, my boyfriend was using an electric toothbrush and Loki like screamed and ran. So he's just fidgety and jumpy. Any noise would make him very uncomfortable and nervous. So we brought him to the vet. The vet was like, let's
chill. And you found
out
it to be effective.
That's great.
Yeah, better living through chemistry.
Yeah, that and the pheromone diffusers.
Yeah, nice. Great. The feline appeasing pheromone.
Yeah, they're great.
Medterra sent us a shit ton of CBD.
and you took it?
Yeah.
Well, it's human and animal.
Yeah, I imagine that. Yeah, it's like the same formula for...
The beef flavored one has a nice umami to it.
I prefer the tuna. I like the tuna.
Rub it in your gums. Such a classic cat lady. Classic cat.
So you know how a lot of people are doing this, like, I don't know, essential oils, MLMs. Like, I don't even want to get into MLMs. But, you know, people are, like, really into essential
Multi-level
oils.
Multi-level marketing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's, like, a lot of companies out there trying to sell, you know, essential oils that will fix your cancer, whatever. Yeah. It's absolute BS. but someone wrote, Lauren wrote, is it okay to use an essential oil diffuser in the same room as my dog or cat?
So essentially, this is definitely a really confusing one. And if you Google that with Pet Poison Helpline, they have a really good like handout on it, and something else I should do a post on. But essentially, if it's just diffusing in your room, as long as they don't eat it or drink it, or get it on their paws, they're typically safe.
Yeah.
And you know, they always remember like they can be mild, like inhalant irritants, things like that. But typically, they are safe. Typically, we make a bigger deal out of them than needs to be. But you need to check into every specific oil and, again, make sure that they're not eating or drinking it.
It's good to know.
What's the kind of flowers you shouldn't have if you have cats?
Lilies are very
toxic. Those are the ones that are deadly.
Cats. Yeah, they can cause kidney failure pretty severely. And even if they're in the house. So people are like, oh, I'll just have them in the house, but my cat doesn't play with the flower. Nope, because the pollen can get on the floor. It's the pollen that's toxic. If the pollen just blows in the wind, the cat walks through it and then licks its paw, you can get it can die of kidney failure.
I know it because I have a lily up by the ceiling so that the cats don't get anywhere near it. Yep, that's good to know.
I would
take it out.
I'm a human garbage piece.
You know, I don't even keep flowers in the apartment anymore. I have two cats and my cats are jumpers. Like, there's absolutely nowhere that they can't get. And so I just like, I don't anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, and then I have a personal question. I have a cat that just howls at nothing and gets the zoomies at night. Like, what is that all about?
Yeah. In general, cats are pretty nocturnal. How old is your cat?
It's like 6 months. He's really young.
Oh, yeah. Really young.
He's a little kitten.
So there's actually a scientific word for the zoomies. It's called FRAP, frenetic random activity periods.
Really?
And they're really just that. Yep. So he's frapping.
That sounds like a paranormal. Like,
I mean, well, that's the thing. I'm pretty sure cats see ghosts. That's my medical professional opinion.
Really? Okay, I once heard, this isn't true, I once heard from a friend who's a paranormal investigator that if you look in a cat's eyes when they're looking at something you can't see, you'll see the reflection of the thing that they're seeing.
Stop it.
Which is terrifying and amazing.
Like Bloody Mary. Yeah.
I believe it.
And wildly hard to prove.
Impossible to prove, and that's why it works.
Yeah. That's so funny. I hadn't, the zoomies,
The zoomies.
And you know what? The veil between the other world and this world is thinner at night.
Yeah.
According to makes sense.
According to the Keanu Reeves documentary, Constantine, he holds the cat so he can go to hell because cats are already halfway there. That's the thing.
If water has ever felt boring to you,
and
you're like, I'm not getting the electrolytes that I need just from this plain water,
Bethany
and I have a new favorite product. It's called Hydrant.
Hydrant creates flavored electrolyte packets that you mix directly in with your water to make hydrating your body easy and delicious. And Dennis is very picky about what he puts into his body. I have a package of Hydrant little packets sitting on my kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And he's always going in and just like grabbing a few and throwing them into his water bottle. And so I'm like, okay, well, if Dennis trusts it, I trust it.
Do you know that 75% of us humans are walking around everyday life chronically dehydrated?
Ding, ding, ding.
That's incredibly high.
Some of your headaches, your energy slumps, your poor focus. A lot of times if you feel hungry, it's actually because you're dehydrated.
And Hydrant is backed by research. Each rapid hydration mix has four essential electrolytes that your body needs, like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. All of these things help you hydrate quickly and stay hydrated all day long.
The formula was developed by Oxford scientists to provide perfectly balanced, efficient hydration. They went to college.
Yes.
I did too, but my degree was in theater.
There are no synthetic colors or artificial sweeteners in the Hydrant formula. It is also vegan. All you have to do is choose between three different flavors or a variety pack.
Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply. You can save even more with a monthly subscription.
And for 25% off of your first order, all you have to do is go to drinkhydrant.com and enter the promo code TASTE at checkout.
That's drinkhydrant.com and enter promo code TASTE for 25% off your first order.
Drinkhydrant.com and enter the promo code TASTE for 25% off of your first order.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's move on to the segment of the show called Famous Pet or Secret Government Codename.
Yes.
Okay?
My favorite.
Both of you can play this. I'm going to give you a name.
Is this tailored towards us or have you played this before?
No, this is the first time we've ever played
okay.
it.
Okay. I like it.
So we're going to start you both off easy. Okay. Whoever wants to answer can. You can answer together as a team or separately as individuals.
I think we both know we're playing against each other.
All right. Number one, Jif Palm. Is that a famous pet or a secret government codename? Jif Palm.
That's a famous
Spelled
pet.
Spelled hell.
That's a famous pet.
You knew that?
Yeah.
What kind of pet is it?
A Pomeranian.
It is.
Yeah.
9.8 million Instagram followers.
Anything Instagram, you're going to kill me.
Holy mackerel. Okay.
Kevin, do you want to keep score?
Yeah, sure. I'll keep score.
I don't want to play against her anymore.
Okay. Next one. Big Buzz. Is that a famous pet or a secret government code name?
Government code name.
You're correct, Richie. Operation Ooh. Big Buzz was a U.S. military test conducted in Georgia in 1955 to see if they could spread yellow fever with mosquitoes.
Fun.
I know. Good times. Old Bob. Old Bob.
That sounds like
everybody's
a pet.
Uncle.
It sounds like a goat or something.
I'm going to go with government name.
It is a pet.
Oh.
Old Bob was Abraham Lincoln's driving horse before Lincoln became president.
Old Bob.
Oh, but not Instagram famous, right?
Not Instagram famous. Okay. Nobody would
then
have been,
I feel
probably.
Okay.
Fun fact, Abraham Lincoln was a vampire. Do you guys know that?
I mean, I'll be. Yeah.
I knew he was an acromegalac. He had acromegaly.
He did. That's right.
He was big.
Is that giantism?
Big. Cats get that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they do get acromegaly. What?
Is that like giantism?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
If a cat gets it, is it treatable?
Yeah, it depends on the severity, and it's really uncommon, but there are you can help manage it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, so, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
Do you think he had the biggest wiener of all presidents?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. With but it had a little hat on it, a little stovetop type hat on it. Okay, next. Cobra Dane. Cobra Dane, is that a famous pet or a secret government code name?
Government code name.
You are correct. It is a radar system. Next. Pumpkin.
This is, are you kidding me? Just pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
That sounds like a pet.
Yeah, it sounds Operation like a pet. I'm going to go with pet.
That could be either one.
It's hard to say.
I'm going to go with a pet. Tough.
Okay, you're right. It is an Insta-famous raccoon who has 1.4 million followers.
Okay, wow. And it got the name Pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Like it must have been on real early.
Pumpkin fell out of a tree in 2014. She was nursed back to health by a family whose backyard in the Bahamas she landed in. The local humane society couldn't take her in, so the family rescued her with two dogs.
And it's been trying to kill them ever since.
Yeah.
So is it a domesticated raccoon?
As domesticated as a raccoon can be.
Yeah, they can be pretty.
How do you feel about animals that are not typically domesticated, but then people have them live in their house?
Oh, that's a hard one. It really depends on the animal and what their qualifications are.
Yeah,
and, you know, I wouldn't definitely not recommend it to the layperson. Mm-hmm. And the illegal wildlife trade is definitely a thing to behold. If you are not familiar with it, I talk about it all the time on the podcast. The documentary Elephant in the Living Room is really all about the illegal wildlife trade. It's really insane. It's something to learn about. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's actually been quite a few wild animals that lived in the White House.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
There was all kinds of shit, but I think it was Polk that had an alligator.
No.
Yeah.
And he the bathtub?
Yeah, he kept it in one of the spare room bathtubs and would give people a tour. And it was like, oh, yeah, you got to check out this room. Alligator.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was just a different time.
That makes me so sad.
I know.
Wait, tell me what else. But was there another crazy animal in the White House?
Somebody had a Shetland pony.
I want a Shetland pony.
That might have been the Kennedys, actually.
Pisses me off.
There was a bunch of them. Yeah, and in the early years, there was a bunch of weird shit.
They have the space.
They do. Shetland ponies can be dicks, by the way.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, they're little, you know, they've got Napoleon.
They're the
complex,
chihuahuas
so.
Of horses.
Yeah, they're the chihuahuas. That's right.
That's good. What are your thoughts on micro ponies?
Yeah, well, same. I mean, all the little ponies can be. They're probably somewhat the same.
Are they smaller than Shetland?
They're the size of golden retrievers. They're small.
Yeah. They're probably all messed up. I don't really know.
I just learned last year that ponies are not baby horses. come on. How many people out there think that?
Fully thought that ponies are baby horses.
Yeah, they're
may or may not have just learned that.
Have you ever been on a house call in New York City where there was a micro pony living in the apartment?
No. But I've got a lot of time left in this career.
That's
so
true.
Let me know because I want to take one in. I'm just trying to convince
what
my
is
landlord.
The distinction between a pony and a horse?
It's actually just the size.
Just
I think a pony is just smaller. Yeah. And so, yeah, they need to be, I think, at least a certain number. Maybe it's 14 hands in order to be considered a pony. That's how you measure height of, to be a horse. That's how you measure the height of horses and hands and what are called hands.
Did you really just learn that right now, Richie? That a pony is not a baby horse?
I mean, I may have heard it before.
It's not a baby horse.
I knew
there's
Shetland
size.
Ponies.
Yeah,
I thought a pony was just a small horse.
Yeah, I thought
I fully did too.
I just thought it was and then it becomes a teenager, and then it's a horse.
Yeah. Okay, next question. We have a few of these left. Are we all having fun? Is everyone having a good time?
Yeah.
Sorry, we keep derailing.
Yeah, we love it.
No, please derail away. Terry, is it Operation Terry or is Terry a pet?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to go with Operation.
I feel like that would be trying to catch sex offenders.
Yeah, Terry's a creepy uncle.
I want it to be Terry.
Terry is a pet. Terry is actually the actor who played Toto in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
The dog actor.
All interesting.
Right. Uh-huh. Huh. And also appeared in many other films as well.
He should have changed his name to Toto, honestly.
I think it was a lady. Terry was a girl.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Everyone, pretty sure that's right.
Terry. Mm-hmm. Juniper Cobra. Pet or
pet.
Military?
It sounds like a Southern lady's cat or something.
It's actually a secret government code name. Juniper Cobra was a 5-day combined military exercise between the U.S. and Israel.
Wait a second. I'm just watching the scoring
I'm not,
here.
I'm not
so you gave Lisa one for me getting
yes,
it wrong?
I did.
You didn't tell us that was the rules?
Because because she didn't answer and you answered incorrectly. So right. I was like,
this is the bullshit.
That's right. Look, that's right. Girl power.
I have done online games before and part of.
And this is how they go.
Yes. No, part of a game show is that you have to clearly state the rules.
Okay. All
this
right.
is not a game show. This is a podcast.
Yeah, this podcast.
We're in the Wild West of podcasting.
This is high
right
stakes.
Mm-hmm. Next one, Venus. Let's call change the subject. She, Venus.
Venus
I
the cat?
Gave it away. Yeah, it's Venus.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh. All right, you both get it.
Oh, but I didn't know that.
Well, I'll just take one away from me for that, because she got it right.
Take one away from Richie for complaining.
Yeah.
Amber Star.
Porn star.
I was going to yeah. say whatever.
That's I should have added
Amber
that.
Star definitely does anal.
Yeah, she sure. does.
Actually, it is a secret government code name, Amber Star.
Huh.
Thank God you didn't insult
wait,
a pet.
Can yeah. we talk about anal for a second?
Yeah,
always. Because I was listening to your podcast this week, and like very often do anal sacks come up?
Yeah.
And yeah. like, okay, I'm kind of, I love gross things. Like I love Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh.
And like now TLC has one for feet. Like
that, I couldn't get through the first 3 minutes of that show.
Real, of the
that
Dr. Pimple
big
Popper?
Big fucking foot.
Oh, the foot. No, oh, you watched the foot episode?
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like, what is it called? It's like, I don't know.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, there's like a whole. Know.
Well, no, like of the foot show.
Yeah, the foot
was,
show, yeah.
It was, the episode was called There's a Foot in There Somewhere.
Oh, God. What?
It was like sea foam, but made out of skin.
See, I'm so into anything.
So gnarly.
Disgusting. And so I guess like draining dogs' anal sacs
funny.
Falls into that.
Wow.
Like, listen, I'm this is my entrepreneurial mindset right now. I think you guys should start like a YouTube channel for draining dogs' anal sacs.
Oh.
I think people would be really
anal expression.
That's amazing.
Also, a great grinder handle.
Yeah, there
totally.
You go.
Totally.
Do cats have the same problem with their anal sacs?
Cats do sometimes. Yeah, yeah, it's not as common, but they definitely do. And it's oh yeah, it's hard. They can just get like really thick, gross, dark brown. Smelly, terrible. I mean, I feel like if I started a channel, you would need a scratch and sniff. I would really want you to be there because
yeah.
the smell is
it's bad.
Just, yeah.
Do you have to pretend to not be grossed out, or are you over it by now, or do you gag? What's going on?
I mean, I don't pretend anything. I'm very honest with all of my clients about yeah. all my feelings, hence the podcast. But I think usually they will say, like, this is going to stink. We'll take them to, like, another room or something
yeah.
like that to do it. Yeah.
Ooh.
So
is it poo?
Or I have my nurses do it.
What is in it?
No, it's not poop. It's actually it's glandular material that is used mostly for like scent marking.
Oh,
and they don't
gotcha.
Really have like a great function. Actually, funny enough, come to find out, people have them too.
What?
Yeah, because
no.
because
huh?
we vets like to talk about them so much. People
huh?
do have them. Apparently, they're not a problem as often, but they
like
do have them.
Scent
yeah.
glands.
Yeah,
like we can mark our territory.
Mm-hmm.
Is this similar yeah. to like when a woman is breastfeeding? She can like her ducts can be clogged like in her nipple. Is it sort of like the same thing with your anus?
I mean, I think if the they're technically sacs, right? But
yeah.
I say glands because Claudia told me that it sounds like anal sex when I say anal sacs. But when they get clogged, I mean, anything can get clogged. A duct and a sac or a gland are actually all like sort of very similar. So yeah, if they get clogged, they can get affected and everything can get bad. So
oh,
that's
people
insane.
Have them too. Yeah,
tell them the story of your vet tech. With draining glands.
What? Which story? Picking them up? Oh, yeah.
Wait,
so
how
I
many
learned...
vet tech draining gland stories do you have that you've to pick through them?
Draining glands are my favorite.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, you'll like this story. So we were picking up. They often will express their anal glands when they get nervous
yeah.
because they clench, you know,
sure.
and then that clenching action forces
Type
the anal gland. Yeah. So we had a dog we were putting on an x-ray table, and my nurse picked him up, and she had her mouth open. Right into her mouth. Yeah. Right in her mouth. Yeah.
Blur. Yeah. Did she have to get the teen? Did she have to be quarantined?
She should definitely get teens.
Oh, God.
Wow.
My
yeah.
cat
wow.
sneezed in my mouth this morning, and I thought
yeah.
that was bad.
Oh, that's kind of cute, though. That's
sweet.
Your cat.
He's my boy.
You know what? My cat recently had anal leakage on my bedspread.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it happens.
Was he eating Olestra?
He went, you know what? Yeah. He ate a whole bag of like sunflower chips or whatever.
Wow,
like
chips.
Olestra.
May
yeah,
cause
chips.
Anal leakage. One of a catchphrase of our relationship in the beginning was butt stuff or nah. Because we were both kind of dirtbags when we first met that we were still dating other people
yeah.
and, but like pretty open about it.
Yeah.
And I think it happened when we were on a date that she got a message that she, like, surreptitiously checked and just starts laughing her ass off and shows me the message from this dude. First contact ever was just butt stuff or not.
Oh, what a charmer.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, obviously.
I mean, for you, yeah. Anything,
when?
Buddy.
I'm yeah. surprised you didn't dump Fritchie for that guy.
Yeah, gotta go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, literally.
Clear the points.
Dudes need to try harder. No offense, present company excluded.
I mean, he was chivalrous, you know?
Yeah, I was honest. I have to have that screenshot somewhere.
But also, like, I feel like anything that by the time it gets to you, they've tried it successfully on somebody else.
Yeah. So, or like, they're trying it until it works.
Mm-hmm. You think he was just workshopping that?
I think that he was trying it until it worked.
It was also like 2 p.m.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, yeah, that was his lunch break. He, like, had a salad, yeah. And he's like, yeah, let me get into some butt stuff while I'm, like, yeah. eating this arugula.
Yeah, just throwing out a midday anal blast.
Oh, my God. Wait, so, Lisa, what is it like having a boyfriend that's a comedian? Do you, like, laugh at all of his jokes? Or, like, eventually are you stop.
I mean, some of them have caused a lot of fights. So,
really?
No, I don't laugh at all.
Really?
Because I was watching some of your stuff, Richie, and you definitely bring Lisa up. Like, you talk about your girlfriend, you talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Like, is that, do you have to ask permission? I would want to be told.
No.
I mean, it's his work, it's his art. So I usually have like an idea of what jokes are coming in, and I pretty much know all the jokes by now. I know what I signed up for, and yeah. I don't feel like anything that he says about me is disrespectful. I think it's funny, and I'll tell people like 98% of it's probably true.
I would say you were only having a problem with stuff that I was doing on stage when it was in a period where, like, I was still doing my single stuff material because it hadn't been phased out. We hadn't had enough fights that I could talk about.
Sure.
No, it was he was on tour with Cat Williams, and so, you know, I don't know if you guys know, like, he did 3 years, 90 City Tour with Cat Williams. Like, Barclay is, like, huge, and, like, girls would send him naked pictures, and he had this one bit about like wanting to sleep with the black girl, basically. And I was like, but like, they're gonna like take that seriously and like not think that you like, you don't even mention me anywhere in your set there.
Yeah.
And they're gonna take that seriously and reach out to you and send you more naked pictures. And like, this is not okay. But it was a different period, and I think we came to an understanding. And now, I mean, I'm like, I'd rather him talk about me than not. But it's really funny because every girl has such a different opinion about it. Every girl's like, I would never want him to talk about me on stage, or I would never want him to talk about other girlfriends on stage, or like, they all, or like, oh my God, that must be so much fun. Like, you know, how does he mention you? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, So, I mean, I would rather him mention me than not, but there are very few jokes that we've fought about. It was pretty much like one.
It was just that one.
Pretty much that one. I think that was it. Everything else is really pretty true. Yeah. So I can't argue with it. And I know what I signed up for. So, but he is the funniest person that I know. I mean, and I am constantly laughing. So
it's, you know what? It's a delicate balance.
It is.
When one or both people in the relationship make a living by sharing personal details.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know if I were single and a podcaster, like, I'd want to share, like, you know, dating details and romance details. I don't know how I would approach that if I hadn't, you know, if I were dating somebody new. Like, I just don't know how that would work. So, I mean, like, it's really an insane balance.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. And, you know, as a comic, like, your material, you can't just write it and say it the next day. Like, you want to workshop it. You want to make sure it's funny.
I never see that happen.
Really?
I mean, he pretty much just gets up on stage and does it, but I think.
So it takes a second. It takes a minute to, like, phase in the new stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then sometimes I'll show up to a show and hear the new joke. But, I mean, I trust him. It doesn't bother me at all. The ex-girlfriend talk and the talking about me doesn't, like I said, I would rather him do jokes about me so then people.
Yeah, but I mean, we've also, like, neither of us are weird about talking about exes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's helpful.
Like, we don't pretend that we just met each other. Like,
everybody's got a past.
You just came out of a flower. You're like bloomed out of a flower and joined together.
Yeah, I assume she was just good in bed because it was her first try. And she just got lucky. No, it's like we're fucking adults. We met in our 30s.
Yeah.
Speaking
of comedy, which is like stand-up is one thing that I just am terrified of and can't even imagine doing. Because if you fail alone.
Yeah.
Versus like improv, you fail as a team and, you know, podcasting, you edit it out and make it sound hilarious. How were you doing like the open mic stuff where you would have to like wait in line, wait for your name to get called?
Sure.
Do that. How old were you when you started doing that? Would you say?
I think I was 25.
Because I feel like you have to be young and really, really hungry when you get started doing that.
Like, were you working a corporate job and you're like, man, this sucks coming into the office every day?
He went to an Ivy League school to tell dick jokes.
Yeah. I had a real job, and day one of getting fired from that job, I got on stage.
Really?
Yeah. And then I was a rowing coach at Penn.
Okay.
And for like the first 4 years that I was doing stand up.
Wow. Were you actually a rowing coach, or did your parents Photoshop your face into a picture of someone else being a rowing coach?
That's
hilarious.
How
you got in.
There's actually I can speak on that.
Yeah.
But no, I was actually a rowing coach.
Okay, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
You want to know why that whole college cheating scam worked?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, so you know what Title IX is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's for any listeners, I don't want to mansplain. Listeners that don't, would you please?
So. Title IX is, it ensures that there is what it's like an ability to have a diverse student
population.
Yeah. So.
Not entirely. In this context, it's.
But well, don't mansplain
then
or
I don't
anything.
Know. No, then I don't know what it is.
No, it's that you have to balance the book between male and female sports.
Oh, okay.
And it's.
That's close enough. And I was like, yeah, great. That,
I've only ever heard it in relation to sports.
I was like, yeah, that's everything. Right.
So it's almost impossible to do.
Okay.
Right? Because if you have a Division I basketball or football team, you can't offset that. You're not going to be able to build a stadium for women's volleyball.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So a lot of men's sports got shut down in the 90s, and it was like this big to-do. But the biggest beneficiary of it was women's rowing because it's an extremely expensive sport, right? So you have to have a boathouse so they can build a boathouse. They can dig up the fucking land. They can do – like some schools like built a river basically or a lake.
Wow.
And you also get – you can get like 36 scholarships out of it, which is another thing you have to balance.
Okay.
So there's not that many – women that are rowing in high school that can fill that need.
Yeah, I don't even – I'm trying to think of, like, if we had a rowing club.
No, I mean, I didn't – that
– Well, in Jersey there was clubs. But even if there was, then you're also – it doesn't – just because you rowed in high school as a female doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do it at a nationally competitive level.
Yeah.
Because some of them are just scrubs. They're not athletes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I had friends that I rode with that went into – going into coaching, it was like, I'm only coaching men's, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, hey, you want to make $130,000 teaching women how to row? Yes, I do.
Yes, absolutely.
But they still don't have, like, the bodies. So they would go to high school volleyball teams, women's high school volleyball teams and basketball teams and say, like, who's not going to make it as a college player.
Oh, interesting.
And then go to their parents and be like, do you want them to, you know, do you want them to go to school for free? Are they committed to doing this?
Interesting.
Yeah, so it would be like, let me just see them on a rowing machine for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because
it's the upper body strength, you know, and the core strength.
It's full body for sure. And so they would make them like go to a camp maybe, but sight unseen, never picking up an oar in their life, they were giving away 32 scholarships a year.
Because they just need
the bodies. So it was reasonable to USC. Like, it sounded really outrageous, but it was actually reasonable to the administration to the admin, like, to see an application like, this person's a rower, but they don't have any experience.
Oh, I had no idea that that was part of it. That makes total sense.
It made them sound like crazy assholes.
Yeah.
But,
because a lot of those, like, wasn't it Aunt Becky? Like, her daughter was
Aunt Becky and the Target
like,
guy.
Apparently on a rowing team, right? So that's why this wasn't, like, totally out of the blue.
That makes sense.
Was there any of that scandal on the team that you were coaching?
No.
Okay.
It was at Penn, and it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Right on.
I'm all about the scandal. I don't know how I side. Like, I'm not quite sure how I side.
Yeah.
Politically or like morally, I mean, because like I would do anything for my cat, so I imagine that anyone would do anything for their child. But like, I mean, like, my opinions on this don't really matter.
How about the guy that was going around taking the SATs for kids.
Yeah, that's insane.
He's an entrepreneur.
And he was like 35,
He's an entrepreneur. Like, so, you have to eat.
But also, he was like, he's such a whiz with it that he could like – tell you what the score was going to be. It was like he could get a 1600, but if you want to just, you know, if you want to keep it reasonable, we can just get him a 1480.
It's like I'm so like, you know, people who are the pacers in marathons where they just kind of know how fast they need to run like, you know, a 4-hour marathon. I just am so impressed with people, even if it makes you do like really illegal things, he knows how to get a 1480 on the SATs.
Yeah, that is
just
impressive.
Inherently.
I mean, like, it's about the joy of doing what you love.
Well, it's also illegal. So,
you know, in college, I used to build websites for my friends who were taking like website building classes because I got my start as a front end developer before I became a podcaster. And I used to do that for my friends all the time. So I understand like the joy of really doing something that you love and also like maybe not being totally honest.
Yeah, I mean, I cheated a lot, but didn't actually like ship some dude in.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's really crazy.
You didn't make money from
but
it either.
Also, I mean, so many kids are cheating by just getting diagnosed as having a learning disability and getting, you know, getting Adderall or whatever, and they have unlimited time to do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's I mean, access to drugs like that, you just need to find the right doctor, which is insane, but and it's like contributes to the huge opioid problem that we have in this country where doctors are just kind of like writing prescriptions for whatever you ask for.
That we've been watching The Pharmacist. So good. Recommend it
that
enough.
That just popped up on my feed, but I haven't yet gotten into it.
So
Is it Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm busy. Like, Kathleen watches all of these, like, social awareness things, and I'm watching, like, Dracula.
I would rather watch TV than live my life. That's how, you know.
Oh, for
that's
sure.
That's my motto.
For sure.
All right.
Thank you. You guys, this has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having
us.
This was a great opportunity to make some new friends. So, Dr. Lisa Lippman and Richie Redding from We Don't Deserve Dogs. Yeah. Take a listen. Where can we listen to you guys? I was listening on Apple Podcasts.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Got it.
And look for our new show, Anal Expressions.
On Animal Planet.
Honestly, you need a YouTube channel for that.
Yeah,
I will be your biggest fan.
But it's like a soap opera vibe. It's like Anal Expressions.
I'll just privately text you all my.
Yeah. Yes, is there anything else you guys want to plug before we go?
Just follow me at Richie Redding.
I am now accepting new patients. If you would like a house call in New York City or Brooklyn, we go to Brooklyn on Fridays.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I love that. Any all animals?
Dogs and cats.
So no snakes, no skunks, no
raccoons. No, I mean, I could probably help you figure it out.
An exception for one miniature pony. For the gram.
Thank you, Richie.
For the gram, sure.
Just to see the crazy asshole that has a pony in New York City.
Yeah. I want to be that asshole. All I have to do is convince Gigi, my landlord.
Gigi's never going to let you do that.
She might.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Bye.